WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We're continuing our coverage of the annual Human Rights Watch Film Festival with a documentary that tackles bias embedded in the tech industry. Algorithms are everywhere, and you probably already know that algorithms help determine what posts you see online and what ads you see. But these algorithms also help determine how credit is extended, who gets into what college, and even how long someone might be sentenced for a crime. And these algorithms are flawed because, well, they're created with data from humans who bring their own flaws into the tech. Algorithms are often biased against women and people of color, and this algorithmic discrimination can have profound implications for nearly every aspect of someone's life. Particularly troubling at this moment is the failure of facial recognition software, which often has trouble recognizing or distinguishing between black and brown faces, software that is used by some police departments across the country and even around the world. Or take, for example, the 2008 financial crisis. This is from the film. Here's author Safiya Umoja-Noble explaining how algorithms contributed to the 2008 financial crisis.
The way we know about algorithmic impact is by looking at the outcomes. For example, when Americans are bet against and selected and optimized for failure. So it's like looking for a particular profile of people who can get a subprime mortgage and kind of betting against their failure and then foreclosing on them and wiping out their wealth. That was an algorithmic game that came out of Wall Street. During the mortgage crisis, you had the largest wipeout of black wealth in the history of the United States. Just like that.
That was a clip from the new documentary about algorithmic injustice, Coded Bias, directed by Shalini Kantaya. The film will have its U.S. Digital Festival premiere as part of the Human Rights Watch Festival. You can stream it online from June 11th through the 20th, and Shalini will be part of a virtual Q&A on June 12th at 8 p.m. Shalini Kantaya joins us now. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
We're also joined by one of the subjects of Coded Bias, a computer scientist and the founder of Algorithmic Justice League, Joy Bulamwini. Joy, thank you for being with us. I'm a big fan of yours after watching this documentary. The work you're doing is amazing.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Shalini, how did you first become interested in algorithmic injustice?
Well, I started coming across the work, TED Talks by Kathy O'Neill, and of course Joy, Zeynep Tufekci. And I was sort of interested in this sort of underbelly, this sort of dark side of the tech industry. And that sort of set me on this journey. And what I learned was astounding.
What was the thing that the first time, as you're working on the film, there's always this moment, and anybody working on any project, where your mind just gets blown. And you think like, whoa, what is this? What is in the story I'm telling?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of people have framed this around privacy. And I just had no idea the amount of invasive surveillance that so many of us are exposed to every day. Mm. And the way that algorithms are literally making predictions about us every single day and becoming this sort of invisible hand. And how algorithms that are not vetted for accuracy are becoming these invisible automated gatekeepers, deciding, like you said so well, who gets healthcare, who gets hired, and who gets undue police scrutiny.
So during the film, we learn about you, a lot about you, how it was your dream to go to MIT, but you also have this really interesting creative side, and this, you were working on a project that involved facial recognition. How did you first come to realize that there was something wasn't right with the facial recognition software that was available?
Yeah, so I arrived at MIT. I was extremely excited. I've wanted to come to this place since I was a little kid watching documentaries on PBS, and they would always show MIT. So I finally arrive. I'm here, and I'm working on a class project that used some face detection technology, which is a subset of a large set of facial recognition technologies. And what happened is I was working on this project that would track my face, so I could put a filter into a mirror, and I was calling it an Aspire mirror, right? So if you've seen Harry Potter and you have these magical looking mirrors, I was making a real life version of that using computer code. The problem was my system didn't detect my face until I put a white mask on my dark skin, and it was almost immediate. So it was this experience of literally having to change who I am to be seen by a system that wasn't designed for me that led to more questions about what's going on with how we train machines in the first place. And then also, how else are we using facial recognition technologies? Because it's not just about detecting a face for a school project, right? We now have police using this kind of technology. What does it mean if these systems don't necessarily view people in the same ways? And even if they did, what does that mean for surveillance?
So Joy, why don't these systems recognize darker skin, these facial recognitions, or misidentify?
So when we think about how we train computers to see, it's essentially a guessing game of pattern recognition. And right now, the way we train computers to see faces is we present large data sets of examples of faces. So when we're talking about machine learning, the machines are learning from data. What we found with our research is oftentimes many of these data sets are what I call pale male data sets. So as we were doing the research, we would see data sets that were being used by industry or by researchers that might be 80% lighter skin or over 70% male. And so when you have data that is so skewed, you're literally teaching the machines a very small representation of the world. And so when these machines go out and they're introduced to diversity they weren't exposed to before, the performance is not as high as it is on other faces, which again, in a surveillance state, might not be the worst thing.
Shalini, what did you learn about the way that police and intelligence agencies in the U.S. are using facial recognition software?
I remember there was a moment when Joy was testifying in Congress, and Jim Jordan, who is a Republican, almost was minority leader, and he said, "Wait, you mean to tell me that 117 million Americans are in a database, their faces are in a database, and not a single person in an elected office approve this?" And for me, when I heard that, I came to understand the scope of the issue, that police, ICE, the FBI are essentially picking up these tools with no one in an elected position overseeing the use of them and experimenting on people's rights. And they're being used in prison sentencing to predict, how risky, how the amount of risk someone has poses to society. And these algorithms could be wrong. And Julian Angwin's work shows that this was misused, and literally you have these algorithms deciding life and liberty for people. And that's when I started to realize that, you know, this is one of the biggest civil rights issues of our times, and this is actually where the battle for civil rights and equality is going to be waged in the 21st century.
My guest is Shalani Kantaya. Her name of her film is Coded Bias, and we're also talking with Joy Boulamwini, the founder of Algorithmic Justice League, who is featured in the film. So, Joy, you have work that brought you to the New York City area, to the Atlantic Plaza Towers. What was happening there?
So I got an email telling me that in Atlantic Plaza Towers, the landlord was planning on installing facial recognition as an entry system. So instead of using your typical key, at least is what I understood, you could use your face to get into the building. And so it was being positioned as something of convenience. Now, the problem was the people living there didn't want this technology. Again, as Shalini is talking about the use of facial recognition for surveillance or ICE or the police coming in to use these systems or where the data that could be stored by a system might end up, the tenants were understandably resisting the use of this technology. And so when they reached out to the Algorithmic Justice League, they wanted to know what we knew in terms of how these systems worked. And we basically confirmed what their concerns were. One, when it comes to the accuracy of these systems, study after study shows that they perform poorly on dark-skinned individuals as compared to lighter-skinned individuals. They perform worse on the elderly and also youthful faces. And they also don't perform as well on women as they do on men. And what made this even worse is those groups that the technology has been shown to struggle the most on were the primary residents of this housing complex. And so they reached out to us, and we, along with actually some of the other people who are featured in the film, so including Dr. Sophia Noble, wrote an amicus letter of support saying, what they're saying is true. Here's the MIT-backed research that supports it, which we led at the Algorithmic Justice League. Here are the government studies that support it as well. And so that is how I came to be in touch with the tenants there.
So what happens when you, as a member of the Algorithmic Justice League, when you present this information to companies that make this AI, what have the responses been like?
Sure. So as the founder of the Algorithmic Justice League, our goal has been to name and change, not name and shame. So our approach is when we find issues, we let companies know. And for our first study, we tested IBM, we tested Microsoft, we tested Face++. And then our follow-up study, we tested a startup named Kairos, and we also tested Amazon. The reason I bring up all of these different companies is to address your question, how have companies responded? It depends. So we've gotten everything from no response, which was the case with Face++, a billion-dollar tech company in China, to we acknowledge the problem and we're going to do something about it, which is what we got from IBM and Microsoft when we did our first study, to dismissal and also attempts to discredit the research, which is what we got from Amazon when we released our study that showed Amazon, just like its peers and as has been documented in the research time and time again, has bias that's based on skin type and bias that's also based on gender. When we were looking at their AI product, Amazon Recognition, particularly at gender classification. So depending on the company, you get a range of responses. We also have an initiative called the Safe Face Pledge, where companies who make this kind of technology actually commit to actionable safeguards, including not selling to police where there are no laws governing this, which is most of the areas we have in the United States.
Shalini, you don't just focus in the United States, you focus on this issue globally. Where do you think the issue is the worst? Is just out of control?
I think China gives us, you see it in the film, it's almost like a Black Mirror episode inside of a documentary. And I think that is gives us an example of what happens when a government has unfettered access to data. And so I think that is definitely sort of the authoritarian Black Mirror episode. And then, you know, we had to go to the UK because we weren't actually able to get information about police use of facial recognition in the States because we have no laws governing them. So it was only in the UK, you know, through an organization called Big Brother Watch UK, which is featured in the film, where we were actually able to get data that said that there was more than 90% inaccuracies. And over 2,000 people were wrongly misidentified by the facial recognition software. So for me, it was really important to sort of present these different data regimes. China, that has authoritarian use of AI and this technology. Europe, that has the GDPR and some legislation in place that they need to enforce. And here in the U.S., where it's essentially a wild, wild west. And the danger is that, you know, many of these technology companies are built here at home.
You should check out this film at the part of the Human Rights Watch Film Festival from June 11th to the 20th. It's called Coded Bias. It's director Shalani Kantaya and Joy Balawimi, the founder of the Algorithmic Justice League, who's featured prominently in the film. Thank you so much. I learned so much watching your movie. We really appreciate you being with us today and making this film.
Thank you.
WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at zbiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's zbiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.